You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 19th of June 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Yes, we've reached the end of another week. The weekend is on its way and we do have with us today Mr. Grandpa Lampshade. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? How's life in Texas?
Oh, well, we're just chugging along, Sven, and I'm glad to see that we have. I take it, it's all in how you read things. I think we've got a white pilling kind of story, if you view it that way today. I'm going to view it that way because white pills matter. Is that racist? Are we allowed to say white pills matter? I don't know. Somebody got slammed the other day for having the nerve. I don't even remember who it was to say that all lives matter. He got denounced as an evil racist. Probably got fired. You know, this is where we're at. It's amazing to see all of the things, Finn, that people such as you and I have been warning folks about for, I don't know, ancient history, like a year ago. And they're all already coming to fruition. And all of these people who think they're just normal people going about their lives are now being fired. They're being, condemned publicly. They're being called white supremacist, neo-Nazis, whatever the racist term for saying something as simple as all lives matter, you know? So yeah, that's where we're at. It's good times.
Even Winston Churchill is now the bad guy. Winston Churchill is the racist that they want to pull down his statues. And even the Guardian of all newspapers, the ultra left wing, white hating, diversity loving Guardian, is now in the firing line. The Guardian is facing calls to shut down for hypocrisy over backing Black Lives Matter protests when it branded Abraham Lincoln abhorrent in the US Civil War. Originally called the Manchester Guardian, the paper was founded in 1821 by John Edward Taylor using profits from a cotton plantation that used slaves. I mean, this is shocking stuff. This newspaper was actually started with money that came from a plantation that used slaves. This is pretty much exactly the same argument that has been used for pulling down Edward Colston's statue, that he used his profits from the year that he was the gaffer at the Africa Trading Company to invest in the city of Bristol. And in actual fact, he invested in the city of Bristol before he was actually in the East Africa Trading Company. But it just shows that just the most tenuous of links is enough to call for a statue to be pulled down. And now we have this newspaper, which is been really, really loud and vocal in its support for Black Lives Matter, whose main goal is the destruction of the police, defunding the police. And they are now being accused of this. There is a petition to get them closed down. They haven't just used money from slaves, but they actually called Abraham Lincoln abhorrent and were writing information against Abraham Lincoln, who, of course, was supportive of the slaves. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, like I say, this is a white pill moment, if you choose to view it that way. I've been pointing out for quite some time that all of this is Marxist. What you're watching right now play out, all of this is a communist color revolution. And the way that it always works is the purges never end. I mean, sure, they have their designated enemies, people that speak out against them. Of course, they are targets to be attacked. But the internal purges are also a part of communism. And here you have, as you've pointed out, The Guardian, which is one of their big vocal megaphone deals. But somebody's dug. There's just not quite pure enough. You're just not clean enough. We found something to condemn you for because apparently The Guardian was built out of cotton. So it's got to be shut down. Communism winds up eating itself because the internal purges. We always get focused because they're always focused outward. So we get focused in on these attacks from communists at their designated enemies. And it's easy to get blackpilled and lose sight of the fact that the internal calls for purity and the purges are also a part. So in other words, as this rolls along, they begin to and will continue eating themselves and destroying themselves instead of going, oh, wow, this is a real, you know, useful tool we can use for the agenda. It doesn't matter. They're not pure enough. They've gone back. And it's also just kind of interesting from a Christian perspective. How counter to a Christian, because in Christianity, you believe that with your flaws, you find redemption, you're forgiven of those flaws so that you can move forward on a path of repentance. But in the communist Marxist religion, that is not available to you. Anything in your past can and will be used against you, and you will be demonized, and you will be purged, and you will be attacked at some point or another. It's, you know, again, these people, this is a movement, is a communist movement. It's not this solid front that people seem to view it as. It's not this unified. They seem like they're making great progress. In a lot of ways they are, but don't fool yourself. It's sewn into, it's baked into the cake, that there's going to be this never ending internal conflict and these never ending purges.
Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. I mean, that comes to mind here. It's very hard to actually find any organization or company or anybody that was around in the 19th century that didn't have some tenuous link to slavery somewhere, because it was a part of a company that was part of basically a smaller globalist world than we have today, but it was still a globalist world. There was a big trading industry between Britain and Africa and India and America. And of course, in America, you did have slaves working on these cotton plantations, but then you had Africans that wanted to buy the cotton. You had Indians that wanted to buy the clothes that had been made with the cotton that were made in Britain, of course, by the Manchester's cotton workers. So it's very, very hard to actually find somebody that is not connected to slavery. So either they're going to end up destroying absolutely everything in this desire for purity, basically, or they're going to have to admit that this is really the pot calling the kettle black when the Guardian is attacking people for their links to slavery. And that point you make there about these purges, I think that is a very good point. I hadn't thought of that myself, but it is reminiscent of the Stalinist purges that we hear about. Well, after John Edward Taylor's death in 1844, the paper is said to have then demanded that Manchester's cotton workers be forced back into work, because these cotton workers actually went on strike and said, look, no, we're not working because we don't support these slaves and what these slaves are being forced to do in America. They should be paid a wage instead of having everything paid for by them. They should be working under the same conditions we are. I would suggest that Manchester's cotton workers were possibly under worse conditions than the slaves in the south of America. But the newspaper itself was demanding that these people that were in solidarity, essentially, with these black slaves, that they actually be forced to work. And now, with a growing backlash against statues linked to slavery and racism, hundreds have signed a petition taking aim at the Guardian's history. Well, it's not actually hundreds now. It was 18,000 the last time I looked. And I would request that listeners out there sign this petition. We really need to get it up as high as we can to try and take down this horrible, awful, anti-white newspaper. Well, what do you make of this, Grandpa? They're even trying to tell the strikers that they had to go back to work and not have sympathy with these black slaves in America.
Well, we'll follow the reasoning, because people tend to live in a vacuum. They think these are one-off incidents and they don't see the bigger picture. Well, this could lead to this. So after demonizing and shutting down and purging organizations or people, historical figures, whatnot, from the 1800s, they will move on to, well, in the 1950s, this business supported segregation. They had segregated bathrooms, they had segregated water fountains, so they too must be purged. It never ends. The purge is never, that is the hallmark of how these communist purges. So, like you said, they will destroy everything. You said they could they will. Ultimately, it devours itself. It just continues to go on and on because there's this never ending. They always talk about things like, you know, the Inquisition or, you know, the witch hunts and stuff. And yet these people who would decry such things are the modern day witch hunters. They will never stop looking for someone else to purge. They will never stop looking for a monster to slay, a demon to be exorcised from our society. And even as they will turn this, as highlighted here, they will turn their focus within their own ranks. And they do so. It's not just going to be pointed at everybody else. Anybody, you have to think, people that are running around supporting this, at what point in time, in the back of their mind, they have to be wondering, at what point in time will they turn their set their sights on them? Because it has to come. And again, the ever shifting standard will move on from in the 1800s. This newspaper supported the slavery. We'll move on to this business supported segregation, or this business didn't wholeheartedly enough support Martin Luther King, or this back in 1960, this company didn't hire enough blacks. I mean, it never ends. There will be an ever increasing demand for purity, which can't be met. And that will, of course, result in more and more purges.
Well, it's not about anti-slavery either, because, you know, there are hundreds of thousands, probably millions of slaves in Africa right at this very moment, and nobody is saying anything at all about them. What this is about being anti-white, and The Guardian does have a lot of white people that works there. It's not owned by black people. So I think that plays into this as well. This is what people need to realize. This isn't about slavery. This isn't about racism. This is about being anti-white. And once they've got rid of all the statues and replaced them with images of themselves, then they'll continue with the replacement of the flesh and blood white man, which we see going on all around us with these calls for only non-whites need apply to join the police. Only non-whites need apply to be script writers for the BBC. We have to have a certain percentage of non-whites on every television program now. So we see that this replacement of white people goes on with whatever excuse they can think of. And it's just the excuse at the moment is slavery. The petition to shut the paper down has been organized by novelist Tony Parsons, who tweeted, "Shameful links to slave-owning Confederate South, built on the profits of cotton fields. Shut down the Guardian newspaper." And I can't find out whether this guy is right-wing or left-wing. I think this is a serious petition here. I don't think it was started up as a sort of joke to highlight the hypocrisy here. But during the US Civil War, the paper had sided with the Southern Confederates against President Lincoln, who wanted to abolish slavery. And a leader piece said, "It was an evil day both for America and the world when he was chosen President of the United States." And on January the 2nd, 1863, it accused Lincoln of having no desire to abolish slavery except as a means of extrication from the difficulties of government. Now, I'm not really up on this American history and the Civil War and Lincoln and all of this. So, Grandpa, can you enlighten us on what's really going on here?
No, absolutely. This is a great teachable moment. Just go back to what you pointed out. This isn't about, you know, slavery. You're exactly right. It's not about slavery, just like it's not about Black Lives Matter. If it mattered about Black lives, they would be, you know, holding rallies against all of the Black people being killed by other Black people, because this is a far higher number. It's an agenda. If this was about Black Lives Mattering, then it would be a concerted demand that more black criminals be arrested so they will quit shooting and killing and victimizing other black people of crimes. I mean, that is just that is just a fact, but it's not about that. Black lives only matter if they lose their lives at the hands of a white person, or a white person can be blamed. If a black person kills another black person, they don't care. So it's observably not about Black Lives Matter. The statements from the 1800s by the paper are absolutely right. There's this fantasy world created about Lincoln. The slavery thing just came up. His declaration, and ironically enough, this is on Juneteenth when we're supposed to be celebrating the slaves being freed. But Lincoln's declaration about freeing the slaves, it looked like the North very well might lose the war. So he did this. He made this declaration about freeing the slaves. And it's worth noting that the Emancipation Proclamation only applied to the South. When Lincoln declared the slaves free, he didn't free the Northern slaves. He was a declaration that all slaves in the South are now free. In an attempt, he was hoping that the slaves would get word of this and it would cause an internal uprising and essentially cause the South to be fighting a war on two fronts. It was a tactical move. Lincoln himself stated that he really didn't care about the slavery. If he could end the war and get the South back in line with his own agenda, he would gladly let them keep their slaves. That was just a tactic. I mean, this is historical record, but most people are just woefully ignorant about history. So they think the whole Civil War was about ending slavery, and it was not. Lincoln wanted to tax the South's cotton to fund industrial development in the Northeast. And the South didn't want to go along like that. They're like, why should we be paying for y'all's industrialization in the Northeast? This is our money. And this is where all of this got started. Lincoln was abhorrent. Lincoln was one of the first major steps. In fact, I would say the first major step in the destruction of America as it was envisioned by the founding fathers. It was always assumed to be a voluntary union. Nobody would have signed up for it if it wasn't assumed it was a voluntary union. Every state that signed up for it had the assumption that if this gets out of hand, we can just leave. But the Civil War established that it was not a voluntary union. It was a compulsory union, and you could not leave, no matter how tyrannical the government got. But this actual history is out there, and people that are ignorant of it, I would encourage them to actually go look into these things, the actual tactics that were taking place, Lincoln's motivations, what the Civil War was really about, because slavery was a secondary issue. Lincoln could care less about freeing the slaves, and yet he is portrayed as some sort of hero and fighting an entire Civil War and killing all of these American people, both from the North and the South, in a crusade to end slavery, when that's simply not true.
So it sounds like the Guardian was actually on the right side back then in 1863. A year and a half later, it claimed, "Nor is Mr. Lincoln's re-election by fraud, violence, and intimidation rendered a matter of comparatively small importance solely by the fact that it reveals nothing with respect to the real wishes and thoughts of the majority of his fellow countrymen." So they're saying there that he was re-elected by illegal means, and the people really didn't want Lincoln. And the left-wing paper then responded to Mr. Lincoln's assassination by laying into his presidency. On April 27th, 1865, it said, "Of his rule, we can never speak except as a series of acts abhorrent to every true notion of constitutional right and human liberty." So it's quite clear that what they were supporting here was the human liberty of the slave owners to own slaves as a constitutional right, with all the laws and regulations that they had about these slaves that I've mentioned before. They had to provide a roof over their head. They had to provide food for them. They had to provide clothes for them. They had to provide medical care for them. At the end of their lives, when they could work no more, they had to still provide all of that for them. Once they got to a certain age, they had to provide for their children. All these things that they had to do that people seem to forget about, particularly blacks, that just seem to forget about it all and think that these people were being whipped and were in chains and were leading a horrible life, when in actual fact they were leading a better life than a lot of the white children that were being forced to work in factories in Britain, that had their arms torn off in the mangle or were being shoved up chimneys. I mean, picking fruit in Jamaica is really no comparison to what was going on in Britain at the time. But of course, this is against the left-wing narrative, and particularly to have this bastion of leftness, the Guardian, speaking out about this and supporting the other side, basically, which is what's going on here. Grandpa, tell us a bit more about the assassination and the fraud, violence, and intimidation used to get him into office.
Well, I want to put a little more context, too, on this quote they used about his rule, an act of abhorrent and every true notion of constitutional right and human liberty. Again, because people don't know, and it's not like, I'm not a Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. Yeah, I don't have that level of knowledge about these things, but I do have a little bit of knowledge and understanding about history just because I'm interested in these things. And what most people don't realize, during the Civil War, okay, Lincoln shut down the press and had congressmen arrested who opposed him. Now, let that sink in for a minute. He shut down the press. The authorities would raid any newspaper that was critical of him. Congressmen, elected congressmen who opposed his agenda, who opposed the Civil War, were arrested and put into prison. And yet he's hailed as some sort of hero for liberty because of this made up narrative about him freeing the slaves, which, again, he didn't free the northern slaves. He just declared that the slaves in the South were free. It was an obvious jaded tactic. It was a cynical tactic to try to use to advantage for victory in war. I think a lot of this quote is referencing the fact that he did have duly elected representatives thrown in prison so they couldn't oppose him. He shut down newspapers in America that were critical of him. I'm not talking Southern newspapers, talking critical newspapers critical of him in the North. There was not this widespread support for the Civil War in the North. Of course, as any war, as people's loved ones, they get notes saying their loved ones died and were killed by them evil Southerners. At some point, people just want revenge. But as Lincoln undertook the Civil War, there was not support for it. The people in the North weren't like, yes, let's march off and go to war against our Southern brethren to free Africans picking cotton on the plantation. It's just ludicrous on its face. But this is the revised history that we're handed. So when we look at it and we understand it, and this quote about Lincoln's rule, they were being very accurate. This was back when the press wasn't fake news. They were reporting facts. Lincoln destroyed already. Of course, it would get much worse, but Lincoln took such a huge chunk of what had been perceived as the intention of the founding fathers, what had been established, and just burnt it. He just destroyed it in the name of his own agenda. And this is what they're referencing.
Well, I think they have actually attacked the Abraham Lincoln statue anyway, because he didn't do enough for the slaves, even though quite obviously from what you were saying, he did more than the others. Well, the campaign has over 18,000 signatures. And after the death of George Floyd, Confederate statues honoring slave traders are being vandalized and torn down across both countries. And I would say, I mean, they say slave traders, but they're effectively going after any traders because, as I say, part of the trade, part of the products that were being passed around the world, there had been slavery input to them. So everybody that was a part of that system, that early globalized system, effectively had something to do with it, including the African chiefs who were selling the slaves. So these statues are being vandalized and torn down, and the past few weeks have seen the paper issue a fierce defiance of this, with articles such as "The Guardian View on Colston's Statue, A Long Time in Coming." It has even updated its financial contributions request at the bottom of every article in the wake of the Black Lives Matter protests, adding that the paper has covered injustice against ethnic minority communities for decades. So this is where some of the funding is coming from for these rioters and looters to get solicitors, and why none of them have been charged. I mean, all the ones that were arrested in Britain the other weekend, none of them were charged, even though they were hurling push bikes at police horses, and there were 62 police officers injured in all over that weekend, I believe, and there hasn't been one person charged with rioting or looting. And the reason for that is rich lawyers, rich celebrities have all been donating to this Black Lives Matter cause, and anyone that was arrested had the name of a solicitor passed to them, even when they had handcuffs on. I've seen this happening. Well, now thousands have signed the petition, laying into The Guardian's hypocrisy. One wrote, "The Guardian, established by a cotton plantation owner using slave labour and being on the side of the Confederates against the abolition of slavery, is still here. Funny old world." Another said, "The Guardian may never have been established without financial benefits arising from slavery." And finally, another one added, "All people who have written for The Guardian in the past and right now ought to be ashamed at their support of slavery." But the point is, I mean, everything that black people have now has a connection to the financial benefits of slavery. There wouldn't even be any black people in America if it wasn't for these benefits that arose from slavery, from them being there. They would never have even been taught to read or write if they hadn't been in America. They certainly wouldn't be in the exalted position that they are in now. I mean, it really is the pot calling the kettle black to say that white people have benefited from slavery, when the current generation of blacks has been the most lucky generation of black people that have ever existed in the entire history of the world, I think. Grandpa, your thoughts on this?
Look at the intentional swap out. Confederate statues of slave traders. That's a lie. They're Confederate statues of people who fought in the war. As far as The Guardian, I'll expand on that in just a minute. But as far as The Guardian's humor is, because once the purges start, these people have no clue that no matter how much they grovel and try to social signal back, it's never enough. Once they've zoomed in on them, no matter how much protection money they give in forms of contributions, or no matter how much they try to appease, once their sights are set on them, it's not going to be enough. Now, this notion that these Confederate statues are of slave traders, that is just blatantly false. And another thing worth pointing out is, by law here in the United States, Confederate veterans, they're tearing down these statues of Confederate veterans. They're attacking Confederate statues. They're defacing graves. By law in this country, Confederate soldiers, Confederate veterans are American veterans. That was passed into law. They are considered by law in this country to be American veterans, not a foreign, not veterans of a foreign army. They are considered American veterans. So all of this action is taking place is they are defacing monuments and graves of American veterans. And yet that seems to just be completely lost. It's just as a funny side note to point out how this narrative that the Civil War was about slavery, there were black regiments in the Confederacy. And yeah, I'm sure there was some forced conscription, but not all of it. There were blacks who voluntarily fought on the side of the Confederacy because they viewed it as these outsiders are coming and attacking. They'd been here long enough. They considered it their home. And they felt that it was outsiders attacking their homes. So how did they deal in the narrative with blacks that fought on the side of the Confederacy? Well, they just won't. They'll just pretend it didn't happen, or they'll dismiss it and say, well, they were just forced to do that. But, you know, it's pretty tough to force somebody to go out and put their life on the line. You know, what are you going to threaten them with? Oh, we'll kill you if you don't. Well, we'll kill you if you don't go out there and get shot at. That's not realistic. So they'll just, by and large, blow it off, ignore it, pretend like it doesn't happen, because the Civil War happening to free the slaves is a lot more of a convenient and romantic narrative, especially for the communist left, than the Civil War was fought to basically ensure that the big corporations of the time could fleece the people of the South to pay for their development, to pay for their growth, so they could reap more profits. That's all of a sudden doesn't sound like a some sort of Marxist cultural revolution, does it? You rally around rally against these Southerners who fought against the notion that they should be taxed to fund the corporatist of the time expansion and more profits for the Northeast. It doesn't quite have the same ring to it, does it?
Not quite as freeing the slaves and the big war to free the slaves. In actual fact, it was just to make more money for the corporations. Well, the newspaper has tried to address its past with associate editor and columnist Martin Kettle trying to explain it in 2011. A good name there, isn't it? Pot calling the kettle black, Martin Kettle. He claimed the Guardian's stance on the US Civil War was of its era. The issue that caused the problem for The Guardian was not slavery. The Guardian had always hated slavery, but it doubted the Union hated slavery to the same degree. His piece suggests some things should not be judged by today's standards. What an absolute hypocrite. I mean, they're calling for even more statues to be called down, and yet they're making excuses for The Guardian and saying it shouldn't be judged by today's standards, while judging everything else by today's standards. And a claim that The Guardian had always hated slavery when quite obviously The Guardian was against these Manchester workers that were striking in common cause with these slaves. I mean, this guy is just an absolute hypocrite. I hope the lefties see this and realize the same. What do you think of his excuse here, Grandpa?
It is. I mean, it is absolutely hypocrisy. I mean, you've already nailed it. I don't even know how much I can add to it. They're demanding that all history be judged by today's standards, by the current narrative of this week. You can't even say of the past decade, much less the past year, because the standard is shifting day by day, if not hour by hour now. And we have to judge all of history by whatever the standard is now. And now that they're being, you know, hoisted on their own spear, so as to speak, now they don't like it so much. You know, don't do that to us. Do that to everybody else. I feel absolutely zero sympathy for them.
Everything else has to be judged by the current year, apart from left-wing publications. Well, last week, a minister said there should be no statues of slave traders in modern Britain as protesters drew up a hit list of 60 to be removed. I think that's actually gone up to 120 now, and it's not just statues of slave traders, it's monarchs, it's everybody they don't like, basically. Business Minister Nadeem Zahawi said statues should be removed after a memorial of slaver Edward Colston was dragged down in protest in Bristol. And it's interesting, this actually comes from The Sun, which is a working class newspaper. And interesting, they call Edward Colston the slaver. I mean, the guy was an absolute philanthropist. I mean, he left so much money to the city of Bristol. Bristol just wouldn't be what it is today without Edward Colston. He was an absolute hero. That's why they built the statue of him, because he was such a good man. And yet here we see this supposed right-wing newspaper capitulating to the left and calling him a slaver. Nadeem Zahawi suggested that statues of slavers should be put in a museum so we can learn more about the men and women who behaved in all sorts of ways historically that is not appropriate in the 21st century. And as we've said, they want to pull down all these statues. They want to pull down kings and queens and judge them by today's standards. The tearing down of Colston's statue sparked a furious debate over which people get honoured with memorials in Britain and a statue in London of 18th century slave trader Robert Milligan was also taken down. Well, it didn't spark a furious debate because nobody was defending the statue, because it was pretty much unanimous. All the talking heads are supportive of Black Lives Matter, with the exception of Nigel Farage, who was then kicked out of his job on London radio on the very day that he likened Black Lives Matter to the Taliban and ISIS for tearing down these statues. We're not allowed to have a debate. Anybody that speaks up in support of our merchants of the past and our great men of the past is going to be attacked as a racist, and he's going to lose his job, he's going to lose his income. It's only the alternative media that is actually putting the other side's view across. And of course, recent days have also seen demonstrators gather in cities across the UK saying that they want to protect the statues and memorials from being defaced by anti-racism protesters. And I would advise people not to go to any of those in London, but if you have got a local war memorial, then go there and protect it alongside the veterans and the pensioners and everybody else. But it's not a good idea to go to something that can be characterized as a far-right protest by the press, because of course then you're going to get attacked by the media. And also, Priti Patel has banned all gatherings of more than six people in London. So it remains to be seen whether they actually enforce that and whether they will be enforcing it against the Black Lives Matter rioters and looters. Grandpa, have you got anything to say about these statues that are all being pulled down?
Well, we know how that'll be enforced. I mean, we don't even have to pretend anymore. We know that'll be very selectively enforced. It will be enforced against anybody that counters the narrative, the agenda. You know, one of the things I think people will go along with, I don't mean people that support this gibberish, this nonsense, but the people that just pretend it's going to end there. Because the reality is just too unpleasant to face, so they just pretend that it's real. What I mean is, as you've pointed out, the list has already got doubled now from 60 to 120. So let's just make this real easy, because this is what it gets about. Because it's not about slavery. It's not about who supported, might have benefited from cotton trade, you know, over 100 years ago. If you take words, these buzzwords like slave trader, racist, Confederate, take and instead just replace that word with white people. They are going to tear down any part of your history. They're going to tear down any statues that recognize white people, because they can find some form of evil in any, you know, any white historical figure. This is about destroying your history, your connection to your past, anything you might be proud of, because you were the victimizers. You didn't accomplish anything. You just simply benefited off the backs of the poor, oppressed people of color. I think it's clear now. And when we had the old, you know, back in the day, you had the Bolshevik revolutions, and they used disgruntled workers, factory workers, as their street muscle, as their enforcers to push the revolution. And it's obvious now that that is not the case this time. They are going to use all of these black people, and others, to be, that's their street enforcer. They don't care about the working class. They're not even pretending to care about the working class. These are going to be their foot soldiers. These are their foot soldiers that they're going to use. But just for some clarity as a wrap up, just when you read these stories, just when you see racist, slave trader, Confederate, these words, replace them with white, because in the end, that is what they mean.
It's all just anti-white, isn't it? And they won't be happy until they've torn every representation of us down, and then until they have replaced every last one of us. And just to go back to what you were saying there about the Bolshevik revolution, the real change now is that all the establishment is on the side of the civilization destroyers. At least back then you had the white Russians, and you had a group that were against the Bolsheviks. But now we have the whole of our establishment are supporting this. They're effectively supporting their own demise, unless something is done about it, and done about it soon, and done about it peacefully soon. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for coming on, Grandpa. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless, and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.